Our scripture reading today is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Our passage today actually flows from this verse. Matthew 5 and 6 serves as a figurative watershed in the Beatitudes. The first three verses flow to it. The next four Beatitudes flow from it. God designs our spiritual poverty, our mourning of evil in our own lives and in the world, and our meekness, which is our powerlessness to do anything on our own about the reality of our spiritual poverty and the presence of evil in our world. God designs the flow of these experiences to lead us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The remaining Beatitudes form the record of how God fills us with His righteousness. Last week, we remembered that our ability to give genuine mercy rests on our receiving the mercy of Jesus for our sins. We extend mercy to others because Jesus, living in us, expresses His mercy through us. In other words, Jesus fills us with the righteousness of His mercy. Today, we'll see how Jesus fills us with the righteousness of His purity of heart. In the same way that we could never produce enough mercy to merit God's mercy, we can never generate enough purity of heart that we would merit the ability to see God. The Scriptures convince us of our need for a pure heart. When the Bible speaks of a person that is pure in heart, it describes a person whose single-minded loyalty to God affects every area of their life. There are at least three hindrances to single-minded loyalty toward God. The first is when we place our affections on any person or anything above God, we are then incapable of being pure because on a practical level, we have made that person or that thing our God, our idol. the prophet Hosea spoke these words to the northern kingdom of Israel on God's behalf. The Lord says to Israel, Samaria, which is a reference to Israel, throw out your calf idol. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? The second hindrance is when we deceive ourselves thinking we are pure. Then we cannot see our own filth. Proverbs tells us, there are those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. The third hindrance is when we are unwilling to be cleansed. We suffer then the cleansing wrath of God, and at a minimum, delay the blessings of purity. The Lord said to His chosen people, now your impurity is lewdness, because I tried to cleanse you, but you would not be cleansed from your impurity. You will not be clean again until my wrath against you has subsided. God will not overlook these three excuses or any other excuse for our lack of purity. This is because God Himself is so pure that He will not approve of or allow any evil in His presence. The prophet Habakkuk says of God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. The Apostle John tells us, this is the message that we have heard from Him. That would be Jesus. And declare to you, God is light in Him. There is no darkness at all. In this verse, light is a symbol for God's purity. Darkness is a symbol of evil. There is only pure, perfect holiness in the character of God, and no evil associated with Him at all. Therefore, Jesus tells us that we must be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect means pure, holy, blameless, without defect. How is that possible for us mere mortals who are far from completely pure in our thoughts, words, actions, or attitudes? Our complete purity of heart is not naturally possible. Raising the stakes even higher, the Bible makes it clear that only the pure in heart have access to God's presence. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Job cried out before God, who can bring what is pure from what is impure? No one. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus can and does bring what is pure from what is impure. Jesus does that by giving to us the righteousness of His purity of heart. Jesus was the only person to ever live who lived out a single-minded loyalty to God in every area of life. That single-minded loyalty led him to follow his Father's will to the cross, where he died the death that should have been my death, your death, our death. Consequently, we have access to God that to that point was only open to the blameless, pure, holy Son of God. The Apostle Paul tells us, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you ever think of yourself as being the righteousness of God? That's what the Bible teaches us, that you and I, in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. When we believe in Jesus, His righteousness, the purity of heart of Jesus, becomes ours. You might say that we have a heart transplant. We give to Jesus our dirty, guilty heart, and in exchange, Jesus gives to us His pure and blameless heart. The righteous purity of our Lord fills us. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He, that is, just as Jesus, is pure. My purity is Jesus' purity. Pure and simple. The freeing good news is that you and I do not have to wonder if we will ever be pure enough to stand in God's presence, to bear up under the weight of His glory that would kill a mere mortal. When Moses had the fearlessness and the intimacy to ask to see God's glory, the Lord told Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then, in one of the most beautifully intimate scenes of the Bible, the Lord said to Moses, "There's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." The Lord God was so intimate with Moses that God honored Moses' request as much as He could. The Lord allowed Moses to see as much of His glory as Moses could bear to see. But in His great love and mercy, God the Father has revealed to us His glory in Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When, like Moses, Philip asked Jesus to show to the disciples the Father, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" The glory of the Father was so clear in Jesus' life that Jesus seems puzzled that Philip could not see the obvious. Do we see the obvious? Do we believe the obvious? God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Because Christ gave us His pure heart, we can, we do, and we will see God. To see God in this life is to experience His presence with us. In Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Rejoice then, you pure in heart, for you have entered the rule and reign of the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the comfort of God's presence. Yours is eternal mercy. Yours is the fullness of the righteousness of Jesus Christ your Lord. Yours is the purity of Jesus Christ that brings you instantly and always into the very throne room of heaven, not in the sweet by and by alone, but here and now in the hard, gritty life that we live. Having received this great purity of heart, Jesus calls us to live into it. We are called to die to sins and live to righteousness. We are called to serve the living God. This is because God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of this reconciliation. I hadn't planned to say this, but I feel like I need to say it. My heart is so burdened because we live in a culture right now that is holding everybody's sins against them. Everybody's sins against them. If you look hard enough, you will find the skeleton in everybody's closet. You'll find the skeleton in my closet. And I could find the skeleton in yours. Do you see the gospel here? Do you see the difference we can make? Instead of living our lives calling out everybody's faults, to be able to say, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and saying this, I do not count your sins against you. If God does not count our sins against us, how dare we? How dare we look at any person on this earth and say, I hold your sins against you? What gives us that right? Nothing gives us that right. And as children of God, we can make a difference. We can say to the world, doesn't matter what you've done, there's healing, there's forgiveness in the Lord. He does not hold your sins against you. But He only asks that you come to Him, run to Him, accept the forgiveness that He holds out to you. And to us, as a nation, as a people, if we will come to Him, He will not count our sins against us. He doesn't want to. He wants to wrap us up in His loving arms and say, welcome home. Welcome home, my children. That's the kind of God we serve, and that's the kind of God this world needs to hear about. Lord, help us to do that. So here's the application. Two actions. The first is live into the purity that we own. Through His life which is in us, He wants to make our thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions purer and purer. It will happen if we will intentionally cooperate with Jesus. We cooperate with Jesus when we follow the promptings of His Holy Spirit about our thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions. If we will stop making excuses and start making corrections, the power of Jesus will flow through us to make us more like Him. The second action is this. Allow the purity of Jesus to flow out of us in actions and in our words. Then others will see and hear that they can have the pure heart that they desperately need. Upon hearing and seeing this good news, there will be people who accept by faith Jesus' offer to exchange their dirty, guilty heart with his pure and blameless heart. Then they too will see God in Jesus. They will experience God's presence day by day, moment by moment in their lives. And then together, on that great day of the Lord, we will see God. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that we can rejoice because you have given us a purity of heart that we could never, ever attain for ourselves. We want to rejoice in that. Oh, Father, do we need to look for any other blessing? We are so blessed. Help us to live into this blessing so that others may find this blessing. Those who are being drawn to you. Lord, we want them to come to you. We want them to hear the good news of the gospel. That you're not counting their sins against them. That you want them to come to you and to find rest in you. To know what it means to have a clean conscience and a pure heart, not because of who they are, but because of who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, help us to be that kind of people, to live that way in this world. And we thank you that you do help us to do that. In big ways and small ways. And we see that in our congregation. We see you touching lives every week. Every week. We are your hands, your feet, your mouth in this world. And often in ways that we're not even aware of. Because it's just the flow of your Spirit going out of us. And so, Lord, help us just to trust that we are your righteousness, that we are your purity, and relax into that. It's not something we have to make ourselves be. Something that we are. Help us to relax in it. And just let it flow. Let it flow. And thank you, Father, for how that's already flowing through us. All the time. Everywhere we walk. Everywhere we go. To every person that we meet. And we just want to ask, Lord, just turn up the flow. Just turn it up. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand as we sing together.